blowing out their pants. This is the Max Level Podcast. Welcome home. For the uninitiated, Max Level is a weekly breakfast powwow brought to you by RPGera.com. I'm your host, Brian. Joining me on the show today, he is the host of The Media Files every single Friday. It's Kyle.
Excuse me just one moment, Brian. I have to go change my pants. They've been fully blown out.
Fully blown out. I forgot we said we were going to intro the show.
I did too. I forgot about that.
And then we recorded our RPG Era Awards, which is
idiots.
Available by the time you guys are listening to this episode. You'll have already heard that one, hopefully. And yeah, we forgot to do that. We said we were two dudes getting high on life or something like that instead.
And I still haven't played that, but I actually plan on jumping into it this weekend, I think.
I might too. I've been watching a lot of things on Ragnarok. Yes, I'm excited for you to get to the end of that.
I think I'm pretty close.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, then you and I can discuss it soon, because it's been a conversation I've been waiting to have.
Right.
But we got a fun episode today. Real quick before we get to it, special shout out to Occam's Laser for a majority of the music you'll hear today during the show. Go check him out wherever you can find music and people, including YouTube, Spotify, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You won't be disappointed. Please take a moment and do us a favor if you'd be so kind. Head on over to Apple Podcasts or whichever app you've chosen to listen to us on and drop us a quick rating and a review. Really does help us out in terms of visibility so that this show continues to grow. And remember, we are on Patreon now as well. Patreon.com/RPGera. Check out our tiers, see what we're doing, and if you feel inclined, toss us a couple bucks each month. If not, continue to listen to the episodes of the Upload Each Week Works Wonders as well. And of course, special shout out to current executive producers, JexX and Zenku. So yeah, our episodes have been a little sporadic here for the Max Level Podcast as we close out 2022 and enter 2023. The RPG Era Awards, I put it up later than I was going to because I was trying to spread out. I knew you're going out of town, right? Like, you're not available
right
this coming up weekend, and then you're not available next weekend.
I'll be in the Great North.
You will be, yes, floating around Canada somewhere. And yes. I wanted to still get some content out that we had planned on doing, but since I knew we were going to be basically taking like 2 or 3 weeks off throughout, I figured I'd spread it out as far as I could. So RPG Era Awards should have posted on Thursday the 29th, and then you should probably be hearing this early to mid next week, I would assume. So beginning of the year when it'll make sense. Kyle, you unfortunately won't be on Thunderdome next week, which really makes me sad, but you will still be there in spirit. I will get your list and I'll still let you participate that way.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we've done it before, right? Sean has sent in his list.
Sean has sent in his list. Yeah, we do that. So
yep.
Sev and I will be man in the fort for Thunderdome that week though, or that quarter. But today we are going to be primarily focusing on our predictions and resolutions for 2023. But before we get to that, I do want to jump to a little what's new with you, because I have now fully finished the Callisto Protocol, which
and?
I started roughly... Let's see, this came out on December 2nd. I probably started it like a week or so later, maybe a week and a half later. I was still playing through something that I don't remember what. Oh, I think it was Ragnarok at the time, and I was still playing through that. And then I immediately jumped into Chained Echoes after that released and fell in love with that and played it to completion. And then I went back to the Callisto Protocol, which I got about halfway through before I took a break and then went back to it. It's good, I think. I think this game is good. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's excellent. It's far from excellent. I don't think it's great, but it is good. And I would consider Dead Space great, right?
Okay.
And Callisto Protocol probably just good. Now, that's not to say I didn't enjoy my time with this game. I went through it in about 9 hours and some odd minutes, which is a little under what the How Long to Beat says is the average.
Right.
I did not fully explore probably everything that I could have. I definitely skipped a lot of side paths. I in my head, what I said when I first started playing the Callisto Protocol, because I didn't care much about anything other than the story. This is one, I rented it from Gamefly. I just wanted to see the narrative and how it was handled. So in my head, I said, I'm just going to pick a direction and walk and go that way. And right. If I encounter something that's a side mission or a collectible, I'll pick it up. But if I can find the correct path from one objective to the next, I will primarily move from
just
one objective to
yeah.
the next. Yeah. And I stuck to that the entire way. Now, I did find some things. I found some audio logs and schematics. I found, and I don't know if you are just supposed to always get them, but I ended up finding all the schematics in the game, which allowed me to unlock all of the different weapons that you can print at the locations.
Those are probably the easiest things to find, too.
I think they are. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I don't know if the game intends you to find them all. They might, and that might be why I had them all. But I thought I remember one of them being somewhere off to the side. So, but again, very easy to find. It wasn't like tucked away or anything like that. The narrative is a bit of it's hit or miss for me. I think there are some really strong moments, and I ended up really enjoying a few of the characters throughout the game. You obviously are playing your main character is Jacob. He's pretty much a run-of-the-mill regular protagonist. There's really nothing special about this guy. He's kind of boring. You're not boring.
Hey, stop. We're recording, Brian.
Sorry.
People are going to get the wrong idea about this relationship.
Let them.
Or the right idea.
Yeah. It's time we let them know.
It's time we let the world know.
I'm just kidding.
Exactly how we feel about each other.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time. It's Vader time. But no, I really ended up liking the character's name was Danny. She is a character that you are playing alongside. The best way I could probably sum it up would be like Ellie to Joel, right?
Okay.
Something like that. Like she's pretty much by your side. You do get separated in a lot of the different chapters and, you know, finding your way back to her because that's pretty standard in the loop that they put you through each one of these stages. But she ended up being a really cool character, and she was from Europa, which was a planet that was affected by this outbreak.
I think that's a moon of Jupiter.
It is a
moon
of Jupiter. It's one of the two. It is a moon. Europa is a moon. I think it's Jupiter.
Oh, I'm on it. Hold on. Here we go.
I think it's Jupiter. Because
Google tells me. Oh, gosh.
The company. Well, it's Jupiter. The reason I think it's Jupiter is the company in the game is the UJC, which stands for United Jupiter Company.
Okay.
So Europa is a moon, and it is a moon that we as humans still believe could be inhabitable one day.
Right. It's because there might be frozen water
frozen
on it.
Water,
there might be
correct.
Actual ice.
Yeah. We might be able to, you know,
which is an important thing.
Colonize and greenhouse it and all that shit. But so she's on Europa, and this outbreak happens, and that outbreak is basically what's turning things into the creatures that you see throughout the game, right? The enemies that you're going against. And in the start of the game, you basically get captured alongside Danny. Danny tries to board your ship because she thinks you did something terrible to Europa. Like, she thinks you're the reason behind the whole thing. And she crashes your ship, basically, and you get put in this Black Iron prison is the name of the location. And you have to work your way out, go through the prison cells, go through the prison floors. Eventually, you meet up with Danny. There's a couple other characters along the way. There was a guy, his name was, I don't remember. Elias? I think his name was Elias. Your shipmate was Max, and then there was a doctor, a main captain, and then like a warden.
Okay.
And I think Danny was probably my favorite character of the Callisto Protocol. She had a cool backstory. I liked the dynamic between her and Jacob, their relationship as it was kind of built throughout the game and the tumultuous path that it took. I thought the ending was all right. I think it kind of was expected for me. Like, I kind of saw this ending coming. However, the game abruptly ends on a cliffhanger. Like,
oh, I hate that.
Something happens, right? Like, the thing happens that I assumed was going to happen. And then scene kind of like cuts away a little bit. You see a character, and then you see another character. And then they're like, oh, maybe there's a way.
Right.
And the credits roll.
Okay.
So they clearly have aspirations to do a Callisto Protocol 2. And that's, trust me, even though I just talked about a ending, like a shock ending, I wish I would have known it had a abrupt ending like that before I started, because I don't like that. I always get annoyed when something is just clearly unfinished or remaining unfinished for a reason. Now, granted, this game is not unfinished, but the story clearly is. But what I just said spoils absolutely nothing.
Sure.
Trust me. Absolutely trust me.
this game was pretty mixed, you know,
mixed
receptively
reviews
when it came out. And I think when
it's a
when
68
games like
on
this,
OpenCritic.
Is it? Did it fall that low?
It did.
Wow. I didn't think it hit to that low. Do you think that's a fair judgment of the game?
Yes.
I do. See, I think when a game hits like that, right, obviously it's going to hurt sales. It's going to hurt kind of how the public views this game going forward. Within 6 months, we'll see it pretty deep discount.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
bucks,
in online stores.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that by the end of next year, we'll see it on either Game Pass or PlayStation Plus. I could see this being a free PS Plus game at the end of next year.
And a good free game it would be.
Yeah, I think at that point I would happily jump into it.
Yes,
but,
as you should.
You know, when the reception was pretty mixed right out the gate for this game, I decided it wasn't going to be a game I was going to pick up and play initially, which I thought it was going to be, and it did not end up being that for me. So, and hearing you talk about it, I think it's a game that I would get some enjoyment out of, but
you
probably
would
not love all the way through.
Yeah, I know you would. There's stuff to enjoy here. There were some cool set piece moments throughout, right? Like halfway through the game, there's a really cool moment where you're kind of, and again, to be as spoiler free as possible, falling and navigating around. And it reminded me of like an Uncharted piece, which is kind of cool.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, so they it does have not many, but a few, maybe two set piece moments throughout.
Mm-hmm.
So there's stuff to enjoy.
Yeah, it's pretty, right? It's a good looking game.
It is. It's a good looking game.
Did you have any performance issues with it? Because I know a lot of people have.
I did not, actually.
Good.
Now, granted, I played it several weeks after it released, so some of those things could have been patched. And I was on PlayStation 5. I don't know if that means anything, but
gotcha.
I didn't run into, or at least I didn't notice. No, you know, I don't tend to notice drastic. I mean, if it's a drastic frame rate drop, I would, but like here and there, I may not even notice it if it's not dipping below 30. If it's dipping between 30 and 60, I probably wouldn't even be able to tell. But yeah, I didn't have any complaints in that regard. Combat got a lot of boring. Like, it got pretty boring throughout the game, but which is a disappointment. Because I think Dead Space, it nailed that survival horror combat so well in the original.
Well,
and honestly,
thankfully we have that pretty soon.
I was going to say, with the remastered version of that or remake of that coming out at the end of next month or this month, by the time you hear this, that's probably going to end up being a better game than Callisto Protocol.
Well, I will probably be there for that, honestly.
That's another Gamefly for me, I think. I think I'll Gamefly that.
Do you think will it be on EA subscription model, whatever, plus Prime?
Probably extra? On their higher tier that's PC only.
Right, right.
Yeah. All of their stuff is day one on that tier.
Gotcha. Okay. There we go.
Yeah. $15. Something like that. I think that's the price still.
That's what I paid to play Jedi Fallen Survivor, I think, initially.
Yeah. Fallen Order.
Well, whatever it was called. The one that everybody in Discord is refusing to play.
Which is weird because it's a great fucking game.
It's a super good game.
It's a really good game.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. One of my favorite Star Wars games, I think, and I'm really looking forward to Jedi Survivor in March. I think it's going to be great. But that's what's new with me. You don't have anything new, you said,
to talk
about.
What's new with me is I'm trying to get through this week because I got another holiday weekend coming up and then another long weekend after that, and I just don't want to go to work. So I'm just surviving, bud.
Yeah, you need to play some games. Sports Story released, finally. You haven't played that
yet. I'll get to that.
Yeah. You probably need to play something. I don't know. You were playing Chained Echoes the other day, I saw.
I was playing it today, in fact.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Great game. Great game.
It is. It's so good.
Yeah. We don't have any news to talk about because it is a holiday week and really nothing important has happened. So we don't have the Sean Waltman lightning round this week. This is a pretty bare max level podcast. We also do not have any new releases this week, do we? I don't think we do.
I don't think so.
I'm actually looking now to see if anything is releasing, and just because I'll give it a shout out, I probably won't do the full new release. Yeah, there's not even anything.
Okay,
Game Informer has the first game coming out on January 12th. Games Radar, let's take a look. Their first release is January 10th. So yeah, there's really nothing even coming out the first 10 or so days, which is kind of why we're doing Thunderdome next weekend as well, because nothing will have released yet that is important. Wikipedia has the first game on January 11th. So yeah, no releases this week. It is a very, very boring time in the game industry. But we need to look ahead into 2023 because we are at the end of this year. As we record this, it is Thursday, December 29th. We are just a few days away from New Year's Eve, New Year's Day celebrations, and kicking off a brand new 365 days. Or is it a leap year? I don't even know.
I don't know either. Boy, that's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know when the last leap year was. There's 28 days.
Is 2023?
No, it's not. Because there's 28 days in February in 2023.
No, 2024 will be.
2024 is the next leap year. Yeah, look at that. We got 366 days that year. Last year, we made some resolutions and we made some predictions. So I went back and I listed all of our predictions and resolutions that we made for 2022. We're going to quickly recap those and then we will move into our 2023 predictions. So this episode's going to be relatively on the shorter side, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Do you want to start with resolutions or predictions?
From last year?
Yes. And whatever we start with, we're just going to do our 2023 as well.
Let's do predictions first.
Okay. So predictions first. You and I each made 5 predictions last year. My first prediction, Riot Games becomes the new Blizzard off the success of recent game releases and especially Arcane. A League of Legends MMORPG gets announced and includes a lot of key talent from the old Warcraft team. It's several years away, but a trailer does not disappoint. And that didn't happen.
It did happen, but...
In a way, kind of. We know a League of Legends MMORPG is coming, but we don't really know anything else.
A League of Legends fighting game.
And a League of Legends fighting game is coming, yes. But we don't know a lot of the key talent behind the game yet, right? We know Ghostcrawler is involved, but we don't know if anyone else from the old Warcraft team is involved. Chris Metzen went back to Blizzard, so he's clearly not going to be involved. We did not see a trailer, and the only thing I probably got right there was that the game exists and it's several years away.
That's true.
But I wouldn't count that as a point. Kyle, your first prediction, Cyberpunk 2077 next-gen update lands in June.
It is released early.
At the same time as the first major DLC update, and the Cyberpunk 2077 DLC update would be called Cyberpunk 2078.
Yeah, well, you know, can't win them all.
That was not a point.
No.
My number two, this will be the year EA pulls the curtain back on what will be revealed as NCAA Football 2024. We already know they're working on the franchise again after confirming development earlier last year, but we will actually see the game in several forms this year, including a nice debut trailer, and later in the year, a more in-depth look at the features being brought back and debuting for the first time. I said I fully expect this to be a large project. It'll get revealed and be targeted for a July 2023 release. I still think that's what's going to happen, by the way. I just was off by the blowout.
Sure.
But anyway, I continued on from there, talking about their marketing campaign. I did not get this right. We already knew NCAA Football 2024 was coming. I was banking on this being a blowout year for it, fully showing it. They did not do that. We did hear about it again this year, but they said we would see it and hear about it next year. It will come out in July of next year. It will. I'm not re-predicting that this year, but it will. Kyle, your second prediction, it will be a major year for video games being represented in other media. Sonic 2 will be certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
I don't know if that's true. Let me double check. Keep going.
Yeah. The Last of Us on HBO Max will be nominated for Emmys.
That's not even out yet.
And the Mario movie starring Chris Pratt would be nominated for the best animated movie at the Oscars.
That didn't come out either, did it?
It did not.
Okay, Sonic 2 is officially fresh.
Okay, so you got that right.
Yeah, I got that right, but that's it. That's not enough for even a half point, so.
No, we're not doing too well.
Okay.
My number three, PlayStation VR 2 will be officially shown off to the public sometime during the summer. Didn't happen. And will release in November. Did not happen. Sony's holiday 2022 offerings. I said whether Sony returns to E3, which is doubtful, or more realistically, this gets revealed at a state of play, or on stage during the Summer Game Fest. We'll finally get to see what PSVR 2 is going to be all about, and chances are it's going to be pretty impressive. Now, granted, it is impressive, as we found out throughout the year, and we did eventually see it, but it didn't get blown out in the summer, and it did not release in November. Kyle, you're number three. In 2022, we will see the release of a video game themed and centered around some sort of comical take on the COVID-19 pandemic. There will be gameplay features about social distancing, quarantining, masking, accidentally affecting others, and it would be published by Devolver Digital.
Shoot!
Didn't happen.
It was a good idea.
It was a great idea, actually. I really enjoyed it. And I said that South Park would be the best series to tackle it.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well.
And you agreed with me. You agreed with me on that.
Still do. We're sitting on a gold mine there, Brian.
I think so. My number four. Microsoft strikes a deal with Amazon Games to get New World on Xbox platforms as their signature MMORPG, much like Final Fantasy 14, is to PlayStation. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
Your number four. 2019, we had 0 10 out of 10s. 2020, 3 10 out of 10s. 2021, 0 10 out of 10s. And in 2022, we would have 3 10 out of 10s again. And if you had to guess, you said it would have been Forbidden West, Breath of the Wild 2, and one game we don't know about.
Oh, man. Well, I was wrong about all three of those.
Yes. And then I followed up and said Elden Ring, Forbidden West, and then you said Bayonetta 3.
Okay.
And then I said Final Fantasy 16, Silk Song, Hogwarts Legacy, Mario Rabbids Sparks of Hope, and Triangle Strategy all were potentials.
Okay. And what we didn't put in that list was Ragnarok, which we both rated 10 out of 10.
Which we did not know would be coming in 2023.
Right. So we got two 10 out of 10s this year that we officially agree upon.
We did. Yes.
And shoot, man, I was close there.
You were close. Very close. My number five, I fully expect Square Enix to come out swinging this year with JRPG news and releases from updates and maybe even a November release on Final Fantasy 16 to Forspoken to that potential Chrono Cross remastered announcement, which did happen. But I think one particular JRPG is going to take everyone by surprise and reign supreme in 2022, and that was Granblue Fantasy Relink, which got delayed to 2022.
Yeah, I was about to say, did that come out?
It did not.
Son of a gun.
And your fifth and final to show that neither one of us really got any points this year. Sometime in 2022, we will see a major change in the cryptocurrency industry and how it relates to gaming, especially gambling. Some sort of platform would be introduced that allows for the usage of a new crypto coin to gamble on games, bet on games, buy NFTs.
Stupid guy.
But not mine with your console, as I asked you if you could.
Mr. Stupid Guy.
Mr. Stupid Guy and just stupid old Brian. 0 out of 5 on all of our predictions.
You know what? I feel a lot better having said something about cryptos and not NFTs. Because NFTs are stupid. Crypto's stupid, too. That's right. I said it. Crypto's stupid, too. Just not as stupid as NFTs are.
All right. Well, since we've done our 2022 recap, let's make our 2023 predictions. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
You go first because you've got 5, I've got 4.
Okay, I will go first. My number one, with the commercial success of the Steam Deck, I'm looking for Valve to continue capitalizing on that throughout 2023. I expect Valve to host some sort of showcase in the summer, sort of like a State of Play or a Nintendo Direct, where they detail more improvements and updates coming to the platform, as well as a blockbuster announcement.
I like Blackbuster better. I want one of those.
An Xbox Game Pass-like service will be announced by Valve that will come to both Steam Deck and Steam in 2023.
All right. You know what? I'm gonna piggyback off of that one because mine is similar but different. Mine involves subscription services, in fact. And I'm going to predict that there is going to be a major shakeup of game subscription services in 2023. Three that I'm focusing on here. Number one, we're going to start with the Nintendo Switch Online service. That has not been, I think, the hit and the popularity that Nintendo has wanted it to be. Most people I know largely forget about it. And they've also really stopped the trickle of games to that service over the past couple of months. There have not been many releases onto that service, which has made it a really lackluster thing. And I think the reason for that is, and I don't want to spoil one of your predictions here. I think we're both assuming, and I did not predict this, I think we're both assuming that a new console gets released and or announced and or released next year for Nintendo.
Yes. Is that one of your predictions? It is not.
Okay. We're just assuming, right?
We are assuming, much like we did last year. We did an entire segment in our 2022 prediction focused solely on Nintendo, where you said it wasn't coming. I said it was. We kind of argued back and forth. You ended up being right. And I didn't predict it this year. I assume, however, October of 2023, Nintendo reveals the Super Nintendo Switch.
No, I completely do, too. And that's why I didn't predict that a new Switch was going to be announced or released. I assume that that's going to be the case, especially with the report recently that they canned it and just they canned the Switch refresh and just decided to go with the next console. I think that we're ready for that. Right.
Yeah. So, and I trust Digital Foundry. They're usually pretty reputable. So
exactly. So number one, redo of Switch Online, how that works, what that subscription looks like, kind of the way that PlayStation did it this past year. I think that we'll see an updated, more competitive model to Switch Online than what we have currently. I think that it'll include DLCs to games like Tears of the Kingdom, and you know how Animal Crossing has their DLC involved in Switch Online. So I think that kind of will be the model there. Number two, I think that we will actually see the Xbox Game Pass with ads tier. I think that that is something that becomes a reality.
kind of like we talked about a few weeks ago.
I think that that becomes a reality. It'll be a cheaper tier, and they will experiment at least with that, bringing Game Pass to more people, getting that subscriber count up, and adding an, you know, an ad-supported tier there. And finally, I think we see the death of a subscription service. Maybe it gets rolled into something else, but I think that Uplay finally meets its demise.
Which is also Ubisoft Connect, right?
Right. Whatever their whole launcher slash subscription service is, I think that's on its way out.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I have another that kind of goes in line with that. So I'm going to readjust my order, how I was going to do this, and I'm going to do something different as number two here. So my second prediction is about Microsoft and Xbox Game Pass.
Okay.
So I do think that the Activision Blizzard acquisition will go through at some point in 2023. I don't know when because of the FTC trying to block it and sue, right? So I don't know when it'll actually go through, but I do think it actually still will go through one way or another. And I assume it will be by the summer because I have a feeling that at Microsoft's E3 2023 showcase, Activision Blizzard games get announced for Xbox Game Pass and will hit the service shortly thereafter, as well as a price increase to $19.99 monthly for the ultimate tier, which comes with, you know, PC and console.
And cloud saves.
And cloud saves. And the other tiers will go up by however many dollars as well.
Sure.
Each tier. Like it will be across the board. It won't just be the ultimate tier that goes up, but the ultimate tier is the one I subscribe to that will go up to $19.99 a month. And since you just mentioned it, I also said that Ubisoft Connect would fold as a standalone service and would be fully integrated into Game Pass by the end of 2023.
Are we just simpatico, buddy?
I think so.
Wow. Look at us. Well, we had two pretty unique, not unique. I mean, very, very closely related predictions there. I'm proud of us.
Yeah. Slightly different.
Slightly different.
Different enough to stand on their own.
I agree.
But very the same.
Especially with the Ubisoft
folding.
Not the company, just their subservice.
No, correct. Yeah, it doesn't make them any money. It can't.
Right. Here we go. Since we've already talked about Switch 2, Super Switch, Switch Connect, I don't know, whatever you want to call this new Switch coming out, I want to predict what that's going to look like.
Switch U.
The Switch U. No. The Switch Hitter. I don't know what it's going to be called. But I don't know what it will be called. But I do want to kind of talk about the form and the function of that.
Okay.
I do think that it will look and function similar to how the Switch does now. I think that it will have a handheld mode, and I think that it will have a docked mode that connects to televisions. But I think that it's going to lean much more into the handheld mode. I think that we are going to see a larger unit with a larger and more vibrant screen, something more akin to the way the OLED Switch works now. I think that the battery life will overall be better, especially when doing things not cartridge related. But I do think that they're going to stick with cartridge games, and I think that it will be backwards compatible with the Switch. And I also think that it will link to your Nintendo account much the way that Sony and Microsoft accounts link to your consoles, so that any games you've downloaded onto your Switch, you can download onto your Super Switch, right? I think that, like I said, the handheld or tabletop modes will be the most supported features to this, games kind of relying on that. And I think that it will function mostly as a standalone tablet as well. So instead of it just being a gaming device, there will be a browser. There will be kind of a light office suite on it, right? You can connect to the internet. You can watch television from it. You can watch movies from it. I think that it will function essentially as an iPad does, but in Nintendo form. It will still be a gaming console, but it will lean heavier into its mobile properties. And I think it will release with a price point of $399.
But not this year.
Oh boy, I wouldn't be shocked. I'm not gonna give a release date.
Okay.
Because they do spring release dates, right? And so I could see an announcement into 2023, release spring of 2024. But I'm not giving a release date.
That's my assumption. Announced in October and then released February or March of 2024.
But I could also see an announcement in February and released in May. So
no, absolutely, yeah. We will see. All right, my number three. Sony returns with a full showcase around E3 2023 to try and maintain the market share that they've been losing to Microsoft here in the States, because I do feel like Microsoft has been, you know, getting a lot more support behind them with the Xbox Game Pass service, a lot of the good faith they've made there. Now, granted, they've been losing some of that good faith because they didn't really have any first-party titles come out in 2022, but Microsoft has been turning things around. Sony has been kind of reverting back to the old Sony that we saw during the PlayStation 3 era, and I think they realize that, so they return around E3 with a full showcase once again. And their biggest announcement at the showcase will be from Sucker Punch with Ghost of Tsushima 2.
Oh, please, Papa, por favor.
It'll be revealed in full cinematic trailer form, followed by a gameplay in-depth presentation. But no release date or window will be attached to the presentation, as it will be a spring, late spring, probably, 2024 release. Like May or June of 2024.
Man, I'm into that. I hope you're right.
I think that's given. Even if they don't have an E3 showcase this year, I think we see Ghost of Tsushima 2 in 2023.
All right. Well, I guess my number three is coming up here. Brian, I'm going full hog.
Okay.
I'm going to predict all six Game of the Year nominees for 2023.
Okay. Let's see if you can do it.
We know them all already. Yeah, I think so. Here they are. You're going to notice some games missing from this list. And I thought about this and I put this game together, or this list together. Here we go. The six games nominated for Game of the Year 2023 at the Game Awards: The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Starfield, and Hollow Knight Silksong. Take me to the bank with that one, baby. I thought about it. I looked through the games. I said, this is it.
All right. I wrote them down.
There they are.
We'll see. Tears of the Kingdom, Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man 2, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Starfield, and Hollow Knight Silksong.
There they are. Oh, what a list, right?
Great list. I feel those
could all be 10 out of 10 games, by the way. I would not be surprised if we gave out six 10 out of 10s next year.
There's possibility. Yes, that is very possible.
Do you think all six of those games have potential to be 10 out of 10? You're looking at Starfield right now, aren't you?
I'm looking at Starfield and Resident Evil 4 Remake.
Yeah, I knew it. Resident Evil 2 was so good. And Resident Evil 4, I think this might be it, man. I think Capcom's nailing it with the Resident Evils lately. This might be perfect.
It could be.
Starfield might be perfect.
It could be.
I think Skyrim's a 10 out of 10 game. I've never said that out loud before. I think it is.
And I mean,
I think
you
stood the test of time.
You are missing some big titles next year,
I'm
too.
Missing some big titles there, yeah. But not everyone can be nominated, Brian.
I know. There's only six. There's only ever six.
There's no Suicide Squad.
No Suicide Squad.
There's no Hogwarts Legacy.
No Hogwarts Legacy. No Pikmin 4.
No Pikmin 4. Oh.
No Pikmin 4.
No Metroid Prime 4.
Well, that's probably not coming next year, but Redfall.
Well, they need a big fall release.
They do. Star Wars, Jedi Survivor.
No Star Wars.
Trying to think of some of the other stuff. All the Legend of Heroes games you're missing.
Well, we could just do a Game of the Year list of all six they'll release next year. So
Diablo 4, come on.
Nope. Too many microtransactions.
All right. Well, let's see if you get it right. My number four. And this is kind of going outside of the gaming realm a little bit. It does tie because there is console integration for this platform and specific game integration for this platform as well.
Okay.
But I'm going to make a prediction that with the ongoing drama centered around Twitter and Elon Musk.
Oh boy.
And everything that is going into that whole ordeal.
Ah, geez, here it comes.
Twitter will implode in 2023 and cease to exist by the end of the year.
Whoa, that's a big one.
I think we will see the end of Twitter in 2023.
Brian, MySpace still exists.
The end of Twitter in 2023.
Wow. All right.
And you know, you can post on Twitter from console, so it kind of ties together, and Warcraft has fully integrated into it, right?
I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it.
I'd be fine with it. I would not miss Twitter.
I would not miss Twitter at all. In fact, and I mean this in all sincerity, Brian, if all social medias imploded next year and all of them shut down, I'm talking every single one of them, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, all of them shut down next year, I think the world would be better.
I think the world might be better, but I also think that the world would also be worse off.
No. Let's go. Take them all away.
Here's the thing. Like, you don't hear about Twitter celebrities,
good.
Right?
Good.
You don't hear about it.
Yeah.
Do you? Am I wrong?
No.
Do you hear about Twitter celebrities? But you do hear about Instagram and TikTok celebrities.
Yeah, that's good. We don't need them.
We don't.
Clowns. Jake Paul.
Sure. Sure. But it's a modern thing. I think I don't mind Instagram and TikTok. I really don't.
I use Instagram. I don't use TikTok.
I use Instagram. I don't use TikTok either. I've never used it. I use Instagram all the time. It's the main one I use.
Same.
But I don't think those go away. Facebook, I don't think they will either. Give a fuck about Facebook.
Facebook's not going anywhere. It's
massive. It's not going anywhere. I just don't give a fuck about it.
Me either.
But Twitter will go away by the end of 2023. It'll cease to exist.
Wow. All right. Here's my number four.
And Elon Musk will pull the plug himself, probably.
Oh, he just one day it's gone. It's we just never gone. Hear from him again.
It's just
Tesla's
done.
All stopped driving on the road. Just boom. Starlink's falling out of the sky. SpaceX shuttles.
They went our dreams of Mars inhabitation.
Wow. Wow. All right. Here we go. My number four.
Your final.
Yes, this is my final one. I think that of the we got three pretty big properties, two at least that are coming out next year. One that may come out next year. I'm going to assume it does. I think that The Last of Us, the Super Mario Bros. Movie, and the Fallout television series in production at Amazon all release within the year and are good. I'm not saying like certified fresh. I just think by general consensus, we think that The Last of Us is great. We think that the Mario movie is good and that the Fallout TV series is fine. That's my qualifier. I think it's fine in the way that I thought Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power was fine. I think the Fallout TV series will be fine. I think that we also have announcements of two other major properties being made into television or film. One from Microsoft and one from Nintendo.
Any ideas which ones?
No. And okay. I've thought about it and, you know, I'm like, well, maybe we get a Fire Emblem anime. Maybe we get a Metroid movie, right? Maybe we get an Elder Scrolls TV show, a Skyrim TV show. I don't know. But I'm not going to. There's too many. A new Doom movie, right? Could be announced. I don't know.
Who would play the Dovahkiin? In a Skyrim.
Chris Pratt.
I was just going to say Chris Pratt.
Who else could it be?
Who else could it be?
Who else is worthy? Bruce worthy?
Not Chris Pratt worthy.
What if I did? What if I was the Dovahkiin?
You could be. Buffalo. You got the muscle. You can carry the armor.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Wait till we get to resolutions.
Okay. All right. We're almost there. I have one prediction left. My fifth and final for 2023 to wrap up these predictions. This is in regards to Nintendo, but it is not related to the Super Nintendo Switch. However, it is related to acquisitions because I feel like they're always the odd one looking out, right? Sony's constantly in the news about acquisitions, right? There's still rumors they're going to scoop up Square Enix. Microsoft is always in the news regarding acquisitions, but Nintendo kind of isn't. But I think they will be as we get closer to the release of the Super Nintendo Switch and them wanting to make a bigger dent in the industry. Obviously, the Switch was fucking amazingly successful, and I have a feeling if they stick to the same formula as you predicted, then the Super Nintendo Switch or whatever they call it will be just as successful. But they still lack in certain areas, right? Their first party releases have been very widely spread out. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen nearly the amount of first party games that we thought we were going to see in 2022.
I don't know. I think we had a pretty good release, especially second half of the year between Xenoblade, Splatoon, and Bayonetta.
Between Xenoblade, Splatoon, and Bayonetta,
Mario Rabbids.
Still, sure, but that's more Ubisoft than Nintendo.
Fair enough.
But even still, like when the Switch first came out, we were getting on average one first party game each month.
Sure.
Like they were on a fucking roll for the first year and a half or so of the Switch's life cycle. And then it just kind of fizzled. So I think they're going to try to address that as they get ready to ramp into the Super Nintendo Switch by making an acquisition. And where I'm going with this is where it's a direction we've gone before. We just thought another company would be the one doing acquiring. Yes, that's probably the best way to say it. I was going to say acquisitioning. That's not a right way to say that. Sega. And Atlas will
Sega.
Be acquired by Nintendo
I'm
in
okay
2023.
With that.
And I'm saying Atlas as well.
Sick. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. because, I mean, Sega and Atlas are the same company, which would mean, obviously, Sonic exclusive to Nintendo. All of Sega's properties, which includes Yakuza, would be exclusive to Nintendo. I think they would still release, but they would be exclusive. Probably would take a hit, but they would still release. Persona, Shin Megami, would become exclusive to Nintendo. And even though Sega and Atlas don't pump out a shitload of releases like every single year, there's always generally one or two which would supplement a first party schedule for Nintendo. It would add some much needed depth, I think, to their schedule.
Sure.
But it's a very out there acquisition. I don't realistically think it'll happen.
Okay. Well,
but it could.
Way to predict it.
I mean, that's generally, like I said, I don't think it actually happens.
I got you.
But if Nintendo makes a major acquisition in 2023, it will be Sega and Atlas. A more realistic acquisition would probably be somebody like WayForward or Devolver Digital, maybe even. But I think a bigger splash would be made with Sega and Atlas. So that's where I'm going with it.
Man.
And there you go.
What a good list of predictions.
Yeah.
I like them. I like them this year. I think these are all very real.
Well, we thought that last year too.
Well, yeah, and we're all stupid, so nobody knows anything.
So we will see. Once again, at the end of this year, as we get ready to move into 2024, we will look back at these predictions, see how we did, and make some new ones before we get to next year. But before we get on out of here, before we get to your personal playlist, the final one of 2022, your final PP this year, we still need to make some predictions, or not predictions, resolutions as we move into 2023. And quickly recapping our 2022 resolutions, my five was to be happier, which I probably failed.
Okay.
Catch up on the Legend of Heroes series and prep for the new titles releasing this year and next, which I absolutely failed. Go outside more and travel lightly with Avenger, which I failed. Start working on tattoos and sleeves, which I failed. And really start hammering home on reviews for RPG Era and bring the website back to where it used to be, which I failed. So my running theme was I did not meet any of those resolutions.
Okay,
I
well,
absolutely failed.
There's always next year, Brian.
There's That's always 2023.
This
That's
is the
thing.
Beauty of New Year's.
It's
I
a
think
new
this
year,
is,
a new slate, right?
This is the importance of us celebrating this holiday is that, you
Indeed.
Know what? We start from here now, we pick ourselves back up, and we keep going.
Indeed. Year seven resolutions
last
year.
Oh my gosh, that was
year.
So many. What's wrong with me?
Beat God of War, the Tomb Raider trilogy, and Nier Automata, which you did do.
Complete.
Maintain the media files in its current state, which you did do. Go camping 5 times in 2022 with your oldest son.
Okay. That was, I did 4. One was canceled due to weather.
There. You almost made it.
One was canceled due to weather. I don't think I can be held
no,
accountable
you did
for
it.
That.
Yeah, you did it. Yeah, congratulations. Take one out-of-state family vacation.
Did it.
Which you did. Yep.
Read
to
Legoland.
6 books in 2022.
Okay.
Which you did, right?
I did.
Way
yeah.
more than 6, I think.
I did. I think I hit 11 or 12, yeah.
Yeah. Paint 8 pictures in 2022 and attempt a portrait painting at least once. I don't think you did that.
I did 0, in fact.
Yeah.
0 pictures.
Yeah. 0 self-portraits as well.
0, yeah.
And then your final resolution was by June to be down to 7% body fat.
That was a success.
It was.
I got right in that 7% range. I can't tell exactly. I don't have a DEXA scan machine to get my exact number, but I got within that range and I'll call that a success.
Yeah, no, you did it. You absolutely did it. So you just missed one of
missed
your 7
one.
Last year,
ah,
yeah,
that
which
painting,
is
geez, Louise.
Really fucking impressive. I have 5 resolutions
okay.
for 2023 again. Did not focus on my happiness because I think that is a lost cause. So.
Well, now, geez.
My first resolution was to get better at my current position with my actual job because I'm kind of struggling right now.
Okay.
And I know I can do it. It's just frustrating with everything that's happened since I got promoted into this position and the training that I received. So I have been very frustrated, but I think I can do this. Like I'm going to have to teach a lot of this to myself and it's the healthcare industry. And you know how confusing that is, but I think
I don't
can
even
there.
Understand it. I freaking work in it, bud.
That's what I'm saying. It's very confusing, but I think I can do it. So I'd like to get better at it because I don't want to fail in that. My second resolution is kind of tied in to one that I made last year and failed, but I want to expand on it. Not only do I want to catch up on the Legend of Heroes series this year, I also want to include the Yakuza series.
I knew you were going to say it. I knew that was going to be one of yours. Sev was razzing you in Discord. I knew you
yeah,
was going
to
say
no,
it.
I mean, I got to, man. He brings it up every time we talk. I got to fucking do this. So I need to catch up on the Legend of Heroes and Yakuza in 2023, one way or another, whether it's not playing as many new releases, something. I need to get caught up on these games. Number 3, I want to start lightly cooking more at-home meals instead of utilizing DoorDash so often.
Brilliant,
this year.
Brilliant.
Yeah, you know, I do rent out a basement studio area, so there is no, like, kitchen down here, right? So I don't have a stove, so the things that I make generally are in the microwave. But over the last few months, I did get one of those countertop burner sets that you just plug into an outlet and you can put a pot and a pan on. And I started, like, you know, making some hamburger helper, hot dogs, soup, actually in pan, like, just, you know, light stuff. I want to expand on that, you know, maybe chicken or steak every now and then. Just
hamburger helper, so good.
Hamburger helper's fucking dope, dude. I usually always have one or two.
It's so good.
Probably gonna have some this weekend. My fourth resolution is to build a new gaming PC in the middle of 2023.
Okay.
It is time. This machine is, it will be 3 years old by the middle of next year. And though that's not that old, when you are constantly editing videos and podcasts, it takes a toll on the
right
components. And I've noticed, like, within the last year, things have slowed down. It's not as fast as it was when it first was built. So I want to build a new one because I can afford to do so, but I'm just going to wait for prices to come down a bit. I'll wait. But I do want to build a new one in the middle of the year. And my fifth and final resolution for 2023 is my ultimate goal. It's my big one. I want to move into a new place in a new city by the end of the year.
Vegas, Vegas, Vegas.
Very expensive, but I wish.
Yeah.
I wish. But that's my five resolutions for 2023.
That's pretty good. I've got, are we doing a game challenge resolutions or is that another episode?
We're going to do that right after because it's only going to take a minute.
Okay, fair enough. I've got four plus, like, some game resolutions. Oh, I've got five plus game resolutions.
Okay. Yeah, just list them out.
Here we go. Number one, camp five times, what I had last year. One of the camping trips will be with my whole family. That includes Lindsay, for those listening at home, and note that Lindsay is a psycho and hates being outside. She's gonna come with us. She does. We've actually, okay, I've cleared it with her. I'm gonna make it happen. Two nights. We're going with some other folks. All of my kids are coming. This is a psychotic adventure that I'm planning, but I'm gonna make it happen.
Okay.
Got to build memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I'm going to read, I'm only setting the goal for four books this year, and not to cop out, all four books that I'm going to read, I have them planned. I know which four they are. They're all very long and can be a struggle to get through because of their length and depth. And so
War and Peace?
Not War and Peace. No, I'm hesitant to say what they are because they do reveal a little bit about me politically. And
that's fine.
And
you don't have to.
The less people know about me, the better. I'm an enigma.
Sure.
They know everything about me. They know my freaking family's names. I'm on Instagram. And I'll post them as I finish them, I'll post them in the Discord. So if you're that curious, join the Discord. Yeah. If you want to know, there you go.
Yeah.
You know what? I had somebody reach out to me on Discord the other day and was like, hey, man, let me get one of those personal playlist picks that you did a few weeks ago.
Who was it?
Yeah, it was Folt. Folt.
Oh.
Folt. Yeah, you
Dave,
know that guy.
Sean's long-lost brother.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Number three. This one will be an early year thing because I think I'm going to get it done in February, but I will be in the 1,000-pound club. The 1,000-pound club, for those not in the know in weightlifting, means that you are going to lift 1,000 pounds total over your three big lifts. That includes bench press, squat, and deadlift. I think I'm ready, almost ready, to do those numbers, those types of numbers in my lifts.
Okay.
I'm recovering from an injury right now, but I think I'll be ready by February. And I think in February I can get that done.
Hell yeah. Very nice.
Number four, I don't know how I'm going to measure this, but number four, I'm going to spend more time outside. That includes both in the sun and in the cold, subjecting myself to sunny weather on my skin and cold temperatures upon my skin, and probably introducing some sort of ice bath or cold showers to my routine as well. Research has come out on that, and
good
just
for
shows
the pores.
Yeah, it shows that it's just good for your body to subject yourself to intense cold every now and then. And I have not worked up the guts to do that. I hate it so much, but I'm going to do it. Number five, I don't know how I'll measure this either, but I did get my pair of roller skates and I'm going to get good at roller skating. I don't know how to measure that, but I'll know if I'm good at roller skating the end of the year. Yeah.
You'll know.
So there we go. There's my five. I also have my gaming resolutions for this year, not my game challenge resolution, but my gaming resolutions. I'm going to complete at least five of the following games: Cyberpunk 2077, The Borderlands Trilogy, Children of Morta, Days Gone, Titanfall 2, and Omori.
Now, is that all of the Borderlands games in that trilogy?
Borderlands 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. So yep. In theory, that's 1, 4, no pre-sequel, 5, 6,
no
7,
Tina,
8.
Tiny Tina, whatever.
So 5 of those 8 games.
Correct.
Okay.
But Borderlands 1 through 3 is as 1.
As 1, sure. Yes. All just like you did the Tomb Raider trilogy as 1.
Correct. I also have on my replay list, I don't know that I need to do this, but replay both Link's Awakening and Metroid Dread, finally. I've been wanting to replay Metroid Dread. And then to beat, I'm already erasing a game off of this list. To beat, if I don't finish them by the end of the year, it's Moonlighter, Ragnarok, Pokemon, A Plague Tale Requiem, Chained Echoes, Ghost Song. I'm erasing Ghost Song. I don't think I'm going to actually finish that game. I did get kind of bored with it.
Okay.
And there's just too many other things to play. Pentiment, Toem, High on Life, and Biomutant.
You're going to try to beat all those in 2023.
I don't think I'm going to try to beat all of them. At least play through them to the point that I am done with them, right? If I play 5 hours of Biomutant and hate it, I'm not finishing it.
Okay, fair enough.
Same with, Toem or whatever. You know, I'm going to play enough to know. Because
that's 9 additional games on top of the 5 you just mentioned.
Right.
And then the 2 on your replay list. Do you have any other resolutions?
No, that's resolutions. There you go.
Which takes us into, quickly, our game challenge. Game challenge recap, which you completed. You did it. Your goal was...
For 30.
30. But you
beat... I got
beat
38.
38.
I think I may have more before New Year's.
Okay. All right. And my goal after pressure from Viz and Sev in 2022 was 40. After initially setting it at 30 and then increasing it to 40, and I only finished 30. So I actually hit my initial goal.
You did.
That I initially set, but after I increased it, I came 10 short. That being said, in 2023, I am leaving it at 40 games
60,
for myself.
40?
No, 40. 40 okay. games for myself okay. in 2023. Because I think I can do that. There were times that in this year I just was too depressed and only wanted to do nothing but sleep to play games. Hopefully I can work on that. And in doing so would free up probably hundreds of hours. So I think I could get to 40, even with the job that I have now and everything else we do.
Sure.
So for my game challenge for 2023, I am leaving it at 40 games.
I'm leaving mine at 30. 30 remains a doable number for me. I don't want to push myself in a way that I feel is unrealistic. That's 2 to 3 games a month that I'm beating. And at least 12 of those games will be new releases, new games released within 2023.
Okay, fair enough. At least 12,
I think I said 20 this year for games released in 2022, and I definitely did that. I played a lot of games.
Oh, you definitely did. Yeah, you definitely did. And you're saying 12 for 2023?
Yeah, 12 because I've got this big backlist, and I know I'll probably do 20 again. So,
yeah, fair enough. All right. Well, if you want to participate in the game challenge with us again in 2023, we usually keep a running list on a website, ggapp.io, for the game challenge. Jump in Discord. Let us know what number you're going to shoot for, and I'll keep track of it. You just got to post a picture of the screen, a screenshot of the credits as they're rolling as you finish it in Discord, and we'll count it.
And we're
so
right
if you
want
to participate, yeah, jump in Discord. Let us know what you're going to shoot for your game challenge in 2023, and let's have some fun. Also, let us know what your 2023 predictions are. Let us know what your 2023 resolutions are. We want to know. We want to know. And a reminder, next week, Kyle, you're not on the show for Thunderdome. It will be Thunderdome. And we also will be doing live on that episode our 2023 Fantasy Critic Draft. So
can't believe
if
I'm
you're in
both
the league,
first time
I know,
ever.
I know, you suck. If you're in the league already, if you're not going to participate live, and we will record that episode on Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you want to log into the website at that time, you'll be able to participate live. But if you just want to have it auto draft, which it will auto draft all slots this year instead of just 8, because I feel
what
like
day is it?
The 7th.
10 a.m. Eastern.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to make it, man.
You're going to try to make the episode?
No, just the draft. I'll be on my phone.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be in Ontario.
You could do the draft. Yeah. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which I think is Ontario time anyway. I think it is. Might be 1 hour behind. I'm not sure.
It is. No.
But yeah, so 10 a.m. that morning on the 7th. And yeah, but if you're not going to be there live, just make sure you set your auto draft because it will draft. And if you're not in the league yet, you have until the 7th to join. So jump in Discord, get the link to join our Fantasy Critic for 2023, and let's have some fun. Try to beat me. I won in 2022. I'm probably going to win again in 2023. Try to beat me. Not going to happen, though.
Not going to happen.
Not going to happen,
You're
though.
Too good
Viz tried. Viz tried, but he failed. Oh, man. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode.
That's it.
Because we don't have anything else to talk about. All we had was our predictions, our resolutions, our game challenge, and Callisto Protocol, I guess. So we have one way to close out the year. And I hope you brought some champagne with it. I hope there's a nice little funny hat on it, maybe. Maybe like some 2023 glasses on it or something. But for the last time in 2022, I want to see the pee-pee.
Here it comes, man. This is a good one. First of all, I did publish my top 10 list of the year. There is also a, that's on my Instagram. There is the best of songs of 2022 coming from the Media Files as well. Lindsay joins me on that episode. And we go through three of our favorite songs each of the year. You get to hear six different songs on that episode. So go listen to that episode. But if I got to say a song, one that doesn't appear on the list or in that episode, this is a song I've been listening to recently. A new album by the band Half Alive has come out. The album is called Conditions of a Punk, and they've been releasing singles all year long. I actually got the privilege of seeing Half Alive live earlier this month as Lindsay and I visited sunny Florida and got to see them live. And this is a band that I have loved for a long time. Keen listeners of the Media Files will recognize that Ice Cold by Half Alive was my favorite song a few years ago. And so I'm bringing one of their songs to the table. The song is called Move Me, and I think it's just a brilliant song. They always have such optimistic, fun songs to listen to. It's not depressing. It is a good time. It's a song called Move Me by Half Alive.
This episode of the Max Level Podcast has been brought to you by RPGera.com. Please remember to leave us a rating and a review regardless of where you're listening. If you want more of us, check us out on YouTube and Twitch, and make sure you're subscribed or following at both places with notifications on. Links to where we can be found on social media, as well as to our Discord server, and all other important information can be found in the show notes for this episode.